All right, everybody, get ready, because we're diving headfirst into this awesome 2021 Nature Reviews Genetics article, and let me tell you, it is packed with fascinating stuff. We're tackling the genetics of obesity today.
Yeah.
And it's way more complicated than you might think. Ever notice how two people can eat the exact same thing but have totally different reactions when it comes to their weight? Well, turns out our genes are like secretly running the show behind the scenes.
It's true.
They control everything from like how our bodies process food to what kind of snacks we crave. It's wild.
This article really digs deep into how much power our genes actually have. You know, we often hear about how environmental factors are driving the obesity epidemic. And while that's definitely true, our genes are playing a much bigger role than a lot of people realize.
Okay, so help me understand this. If our genes are basically calling the shots, why is it that some people seem to effortlessly stay slim while others struggle just to maintain their weight? It almost feels like some of us got like stuck with a gain weight easily gene or something.
Think of it less like a single gene and more like a super complex recipe. You've got genes that influence your metabolism. You've got genes controlling your appetite hormones. You've even got genes that determine how your body stores fat. It's not just one gene, it's a whole bunch of them working together. And even tiny variations in those genes can lead to totally different outcomes.
So it's like some of us are genetically predisposed to like baking a richer, denser cake, so to speak.
Exactly. And this is where the science gets really interesting. The article dives into this intricate system in our brains called the leptin-melanocortin pathway. It's basically our body's internal appetite control center.
Oh yeah, I've heard of leptin before. It's that thing that tells you when you're full, right?
Right. Leptin is a hormone that's produced by our fat cells, and it acts like a messenger, traveling up to the brain to signal that we've had enough fuel and it's time to stop eating.
Makes sense, but then why do I still get cravings even when I know I'm full? Is my brain just ignoring those leptin messages?
Sometimes there are actually genetic variations that can affect how sensitive our brains are to leptin. It's like some people have a super efficient postal service where those leptin messages get delivered right on time, while others have a system that's a little more, shall we say, relaxed.
So it's not just a matter of willpower then. Some of us might actually be genetically wired to have a more, let's say, enthusiastic appetite.
Exactly. And it gets even more interesting. The article talks about these fascinating studies on mice that were really crucial in helping us understand the leptin mystery. They found these two types of mice, nicknamed OB and DB, that were both severely obese, but for totally different genetic reasons.
Okay, let's hear it. What's the deal with these obese mice?
Well, the OB mice had a mutation in the gene that actually produces leptin. So their bodies were basically sending out a constant starving signal, even when they were well fed.
So like their internal communication system was totally out of whack.
Exactly. And the DB mice were even weirder. They actually produced plenty of leptin, but the receptor in their brains that receives the leptin message was faulty.
So it's like their bodies were saying, hey, we're full, no more food. But their brains were like, huh. What? I can't hear you.
Exactly. It's like they were stuck on the hungry channel no matter how much they ate. And that's what made those mice studies so groundbreaking. They really highlighted how important those genetic components are when it comes to regulating our weight.
It's amazing how much we can learn from studying animals, even tiny ones like mice.
Yeah, they're like our little furry windows into the complexities of biology.
And speaking of complexities, the article also dives into this super cool research tool called GWAS, genome-wide association studies. It sounds like some serious genetic detective work. What's that all about?
It basically gives us a way to scan the entire human genome for tiny genetic variations that might be linked to a specific trait or condition, in this case, obesity.
It's like searching for a needle in a haystack.
Yeah.
But on a molecular level.
Right? Exactly. And the really amazing thing is that through GWS, scientists have uncovered hundreds, even thousands, of these tiny genetic variations called SNPs that are associated with body weight.
Wow, so we're talking about a treasure trove of genetic clues. That's got to be super valuable for researchers.
It is, but there's a bit of a catch.
Uh-oh, there's always a catch.
Well, many of these SNPs are located in what we call non-coding regions of DNA.
Non-coding. So not the parts that actually provide the instructions for building proteins.
Exactly. Think of it like this. Our DNA is a giant cookbook, right? And the coding regions are like the actual recipes, the step-by-step instructions for making all the different proteins our bodies need. But the non-coding regions, those are more like the little notes scribbled in the margins. things that might affect how the recipe turns out, like cooking times or ingredient substitutions.
Okay, so we found all these little notes and scribbles in the margins of our DNA cookbook, but we're not quite sure what they mean or how they're affecting the final dish.
Precisely. It's like, we know they're important, but we're still trying to decipher their language. And one gene in particular that has scientists scratching their heads is called FTO.
Oh yeah, FTO. I think I've heard of that one. What makes it so special?
Well, even after years of research, FTO is still a bit of a mystery. We know it's involved in a lot of different processes related to energy balance and appetite regulation, but we haven't quite figured out exactly how it works.
Like, what kinds of things does it seem to be involved in?
For one thing, it seems to play a role in how our brains respond to hormones like ghrelin, which makes us feel hungry, and leptin, which, as we discussed, tells us we're full. And there's even evidence that FTO might influence our food preferences, making us crave those high-calorie, sugary foods that can lead to weight gain.
So if I'm constantly battling a case of the munchies, could FTO be partly to blame?
It's definitely possible. But again, there's still so much we don't know about how this gene works. It's like we've stumbled upon a crucial piece of evidence at a crime scene, but we're still trying to figure out how it fits into the larger story.
Intriguing. It's like we're piecing together a giant puzzle, but we're still missing a few key pieces.
Exactly. And that's what makes this field of research so fascinating.
So if these non-coding regions are like the puppet masters behind the scenes, can we actually predict someone's risk of obesity just by looking at their DNA?
That's the million-dollar question. And to answer your question, scientists have developed these things called polygenic scores, or PGS, which try to do just that.
Polygenic scores, is that like a genetic crystal ball that can tell you your future weight?
Not quite a crystal ball, but it's a step in that direction. Basically, a PGS for obesity takes into account hundreds, even thousands, of those SNPs we talked about, those tiny genetic variations associated with body weight, and it combines them into a single score that reflects your genetic predisposition to obesity.
So the higher the score, the higher your risk.
Exactly. Think of it like knowing the odds of drawing a certain card from a deck. You can't predict the exact card you'll draw, but you can get a sense of the probability.
Okay, so maybe not a crystal ball, but still a pretty powerful tool. But what about treatment? Can we actually use this genetic knowledge to develop more effective ways to treat obesity?
That's the ultimate goal. And we're already starting to see the first glimpses of personalized medicine emerging in the field of obesity.
Personalized medicine. Now you're speaking my language. Tell me more.
Well, one fascinating example is leptin replacement therapy. Remember those ob mice we talked about? The ones that couldn't produce leptin?
Yeah, the ones whose brains couldn't receive the I'm full message.
Right. Well, it turns out that there are some rare cases where humans have similar genetic mutations that prevent their bodies from producing enough leptin.
And I'm guessing that leads to what? Severe obesity.
Exactly. Because their bodies are essentially stuck in starvation mode, constantly craving food.
Wow. So it's like their hunger switch is permanently flipped to the on position.
Exactly. But here's the amazing part. By giving these individuals injections of synthetic leptin, we can actually correct their genetic deficiency. And that allows their bodies to start regulating their appetite more effectively.
That's incredible. It's like we're giving their bodies the missing piece of the puzzle they've been needing all along.
It really is remarkable. And it's not just leptin that researchers are excited about. We're also discovering new drug targets within the leptin-melanocortin pathway, you know, that internal appetite control center we talked about earlier.
Yeah, the one that seems to be at the heart of so many of these weight regulation issues.
Exactly. And one promising drug called setmelanotide works by activating a specific receptor in that pathway.
And does that help regulate appetite and food intake?
It does. It's showing a lot of promise, especially for people with certain genetic forms of obesity.
That's really promising. It sounds like setmelanotide could be a game changer, especially for folks who've been struggling to manage their weight, even when they're doing everything right.
Absolutely. It definitely has huge potential. And the best part is this is just the beginning. As we uncover more about the genetic links to obesity, we're going to discover even more opportunities to develop even more targeted and effective treatments.
So we're kind of moving away from that old one-size-fits-all approach to healthcare and towards something much more personalized.
Exactly.
And when it comes to something as complex as obesity, that personalized approach seems like it could make all the difference.
I completely agree. And as our understanding of the human genome keeps growing, so will our ability to personalize these interventions. It's really exciting. We're on the verge of a revolution in healthcare, and genetics is leading the way.
This has been a fascinating deep dive, and it feels like we've only just scratched the surface of this incredibly complex field. But before we wrap things up, I have to ask, with all this talk about genes and predispositions and personalized medicine, is there even any point in trying to eat healthy and exercise? Or is our weight basically predetermined by our DNA?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And it's one that comes up all the time. While our genes undoubtedly play a significant role in our weight, they don't dictate our destiny. It's more nuanced than that.
Okay, so it's not like we're stuck with whatever our genes decide.
Right. Think of it like this. Your genes might give you the potential to be tall, but if you don't get enough nutrients, especially during childhood, you might not actually reach your full height.
So even if you have a genetic predisposition, your environment still matters.
Absolutely. Think of your genes like a blueprint. And your lifestyle choices, like your diet, how active you are, how well you sleep, even your stress levels, all of those things influence how that blueprint gets expressed.
So it's not a matter of giving up if you have a genetic predisposition to obesity. It's about working with your biology, not against it.
Exactly. And I think that's a really empowering message. Understanding our genetic predispositions gives us the knowledge to make more informed choices to support our health and well-being.
This has been a really eye-opening conversation. I feel like I've learned so much.
I'm glad to hear that.
So, before we say goodbye, is there any final thought you'd like to leave our listeners with?
I think the most important takeaway is that obesity is complex. It's not about blame or shame. It's about understanding the science so that we can develop more effective and compassionate solutions for everyone.
Well said. It's time we move beyond those oversimplified narratives about weight and embrace the complexity of this critical issue. And who knows what amazing discoveries are just around the corner as we continue to unravel the mysteries of our genes. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of obesity genetics. It's been a fascinating journey. We can't wait to explore another exciting corner of the science world with you all next time.